Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we would love for you to be a part of the broadcast today. Basic Gospel, of course, a ministry that where you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the aim anyway. We would love for you to be a part of that. 844-322-2742, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. And we would love to have you be a part of this edition. 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday we read a verse, and I think it's a very important verse in light of kind of all the discussion that's going on today about end times and those sort of things. You know, September 23rd was an important date for many prophecy buffs saying, hey, this could be the rapture. This could be the beginning of the end. This could be the second coming. They had all sorts of speculative notions about what may or may not happen on that particular day. And as, you know, most of us projected, you know, the day was going to come and go with nothing happening at all. Why? Because the Word of God is pretty clear. No one knows the dates or the times. And so we shouldn't bother with trying to calculate it.
Yeah.
We shouldn't bother trying to figure it out. If we're in Christ, we're already prepared for that day. That day isn't going to overtake us like a thief in the night. Why? Because we belong to the day and not the night. Now, those who are just living life as if everything was right here and now and just going about their business, they're going to be surprised at his coming. But those of us who have been marked out, that's not going to be a surprise to us. We're looking forward to that day, and it's a day that brings a judgment of salvation for us. So we've already been marked out as people who belong to the Lord, and that day, that final and complete salvation will be brought to us. And so we can look forward to that with good news. But in light of that, Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together with him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. So there was a lot of speculation going on back in that day that Jesus had already come, and folks were afraid they had missed it, and why weren't they prepared? Why weren't they ready? And so Paul is writing to bring some assurance, to bring some comfort to people's hearts. So we talked about that yesterday. I posted a tweet and a Facebook post about that yesterday, and Ryan, a person who follows us, who tunes in and listens to the broadcast, had a question about that. And so we wanted to address that on today's broadcast. And here's his question. Why did Paul promise the Thessalonians relief when Jesus came back in the first century if his parousia or his coming had been delayed for so long? I thought that was a good question. Yeah. And I think it just points to a little bit of the confusion that swirls around this issue of prophecy, doesn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it does. We get wrapped up in this stuff, and it's a broken record for people. When I start to answer a question like this, I always ask, what's the context? And there is actually a phrase in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse 7, where Paul says that God is going to give you relief. And if you read it just there and you don't look at the rest of it, you think, oh boy, you know, we're not going to suffer anymore, because both of the letters to the Thessalonians are about all of the suffering that these people had gone through, and yet they had maintained their faith. They kept their hope. They were looking forward to the time when Jesus would return. And Paul thanks them for that, praises them for it over and over again. And in this particular passage, he says that you know, you will be given relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well. And then when does that happen? When the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Paul is clearly referring to the end of time and life as we know it. And yet, even in your present state, regardless of how much you're suffering, Jesus promises you relief. What kind of relief? Well, it's the spiritual relief, the assurance that we have because the Holy Spirit lives in us, has already sealed us, and is saying to us, you belong to me, and I belong to you. So let's just take one step at a time through the rest of your life, whether it's good stuff going on or bad stuff going on. And there's a lot of the Bible writers echo this, and it's a fairly common question, actually, because the people in Malachi's day were asking the same thing. They were saying, well, where's this Messiah you promised us? And Malachi had to tell them, he's coming. Just hang in there. Right? So I understand the question, because on Saturday the 23rd, I woke up and said, Lord Jesus, if this is the day, let's have it done by noon. You know, how about that? And it wasn't the day. But I didn't lose hope. I've always got hope. I mean, the theologians call this a sense of imminence, that Jesus could return at any time. And that's true, because none of us know how long we're going to live. Because the moment I die, for me, that's the moment that Jesus comes back. Because I've gone from time into eternity. I'm absent from the body and present with the Lord. And I just don't think we should focus on what we call the delay. Jesus said he's coming back. He's coming back.
Right.
God said Jesus was coming the first time. He came the first time. And it took much longer. I mean, you know, Adam and Eve said, oh, is that our first child, is this the promised one? Well, no, it wasn't. In fact, he was the first murderer. So, you know, their hopes were dashed, but they weren't, because God had promised. And he's promised us, and he's guaranteed it. And we can walk through this life with that absolute assurance, and then walk by faith until the day it shows up and we see Jesus as he is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and this hope that we have, and that's what it is.
Yes.
The fact that he's coming back, and Hebrews, and we've talked about this, when he does come back, he's going to bring salvation to those who are eagerly waiting for him. So there's judgment day. And so the judgment for Christians is salvation, eternal life with the Lord, being gathered together with him to be with him forever. And then there's going to be a day when this new Jerusalem comes down from the heavenlies and takes up its place here on earth. Well, what is that new Jerusalem? Well, it's us. It's the bride of Christ. And in the midst of this new Jerusalem is the very presence of God. He's the light. And Jesus Christ is the lamp. There's no need for light in that city. And that's going to be our eternal dwelling place. And so Jesus is coming back. He's going to gather us together to be with him. We're going to be with him forever. And that final dwelling place is going to be in that new Jerusalem for those who have rejected Christ. And Paul is very clear on this in the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, that those who have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's when the avenging of all of their work against the people of God is going to happen.
Yes.
They're going to be judged, and they're going to face the judgment of death, eternal death. So for those of us who know Christ, our judgment is eternal life. For those who don't know Christ, who reject Christ, their judgment is eternal death. And it's pretty clear. It's simple. It's black and white. And we just have to recognize that Jesus is the centerpiece. What have you done with the Son? Everything revolves around that question, doesn't it? We try to make it more complicated than that, but the Bible doesn't. The Bible simplifies it and says, from beginning and end, this is the story of Jesus. Jesus is coming to do something for us that we could not do for ourselves.
Yeah.
We either receive him or we don't. We either believe in him or we don't. Those who believe and receive are saved. Those who don't believe, who don't receive, who reject, just remain in their state of death, their separation from God. So this coming of Jesus, that's what's going to happen. Now, because that's a day of great hope for us, that's our eternal inheritance, then that hope begins to shape how we live today. And, and so we don't have to worry about our future. We can just focus on our present and trust the Lord to live his life through us today and make an eternal impact, an eternal difference in the lives that we meet in our spheres of influence.
Yeah. There's a technical issue here, and I don't want to miss it if that's what Ryan was really asking. He said, why did Paul promise the Thessalonians relief when Jesus came back in the first century if his parousia has been delayed? So if Ryan is referring to the preterist position, which we've talked about, that in the absolute preterist position, Jesus did come back in the first century. Well, that's the reason why I reject the preterist position, because there's nothing that's been going on since the first century that would suggest to me that the kingdom of God is here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is getting worse. Now, that's why the preterists have a partial preterist position where they say most of Revelation was fulfilled in the first century, and all we've got left is the parousia, the coming.
Yeah.
Okay, you can accept that or reject that, but Jesus certainly didn't come back before 100 A.D.
Right.
And so I don't want to give Ryan the wrong idea that I was misinterpreting his question, but I think we're everybody should be agreed that Jesus has yet to return. And it's, we say delay. It can only be delayed one lifetime, because that's all I've got.
Yeah.
And that lifetime I live by hope because of the grace of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Well, this is the good news that you hear daily here on Basic Gospel. Of course, we are all about offering hope, encouragement, and assurance out of Scripture. And we continue, of course, in that in line with that, to offer Bob Christopher's excellent End Times messages and a 2-CD series that we call Trail of Assurance. Now, in contrast to what you may have heard from other sources previously, well, in this series, you're going to hear of the hope and assurance that we have in the Lord Jesus. And to say thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel, before the end of this month, we have a copy for you. To make your donation, just go online to basicgospel.net and click Donate, or you can donate by phone at 844-322-2742. Trail of Assurance, our gift to you this month as you make your gift to help Basic Gospel continue to share the good news with you and others. Again, donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Now, outside the U.S. and Canada, PayPal, of course, is your best way to donate to Basic Gospel. We hope you will take the opportunity to join us in this partnership that we call Basic Gospel. Bob?
Yeah, and I certainly, at this point in the month, we need some help to meet our monthly target. So we need about $20,000 to come in between now and the end of the month to meet our budget for the month. So if you can help us with a gift today, we would greatly appreciate it.
Yeah.
We had a fantastic June, a fantastic July.
Yeah.
Our August was really good for us as far as the summer month is concerned. And we don't want to lose that momentum.
No.
We want to continue to get this word out. We want to continue to be able to pay our stations, the airtime. So this good news of Jesus Christ can reach more and more people around the world. So if this ministry, you've benefited from it, we would greatly appreciate you stepping up and helping out.
Yeah.
A gift of $50, $100, $200 will make a huge difference right now. So we need about 200 people, if you just do simple math, to give $100, and that would do it for us for this month. But, you know, that's between you and the Lord. That's
sure.
However
yeah.
you decide. And we just want you to be a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel. It's exciting to see how just proclaiming the simplicity of the good news of Jesus Christ powerfully changes lives. Last Sunday when I was down in Temple at Real Life Bible Church, you know, five people stood up and gave testimonies. And
yeah.
and the things that they had been through, had suffered, had endured, and you just wonder how they're just getting up every morning. And yet the power of the gospel just cut through all of that and gave them a sense of peace and hope and security and identity and forgiveness and life in Jesus Christ. And that yeah. lifted them to a point where they were transcendent, living above those circumstances. And it was such an encouragement to see. And nothing fancy was done in any of those cases other than the simple proclamation of the story of Jesus. Folks, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's life in Jesus. There's forgiveness in Jesus. There's hope in Jesus. Those are the things that people are desperately looking for. They are seeking, and there's not a philosophy out there on the planet that addresses any of those soulless spiritual needs. Only the gospel speaks directly to the human heart. So when we're asking you to give, we're asking you to invest in the power of the gospel to speak directly to human hearts and to bring peace to troubled souls. So come join what God is doing through Basic Gospel. We would love for you to be a part, and you can do so right now, today, by making a gift to Basic Gospel.
And you can do that by going to basicgospel.net, click the donate link, or you can call 844-322-2742 to make your gift to Basic Gospel. 844-322-2742 or at basicgospel.net. Well, guys, a very interesting question from Joel, who wrote to us from Seagoville, Texas. Says, I've been enjoying this month's focus on the discussion of prophecy. I, too, used to be caught up and enamored with eschatology, and since then have come to see that it can only be about Jesus. An ongoing discussion I hear is that the Bible gives a list of things that must happen before the end, and that the Bible predicts things like the hurricanes and earthquakes of this past month and the threat of war with multiple nations. Well-meaning believers are insistent that things like Hurricane Harvey are the signs we are supposed to be watching for. There is an insistence that the Bible gives us exactly what to look for, and Revelation is a roadmap for what exactly will happen. Admittedly, I fail to be able to provide a response out of love. How do you respond to someone who hears what you've been saying about prophecy and hope in Jesus Christ, yet still insists that we've seen the last month, that what we've seen in the last month is a sure sign that from God that we are close to the end and things have never been this bad before? And he adds a postscript. He says, complicating matters that I'm sure Richard can relate to, I am furiously fending off remnants of Seventh-day Adventist teaching within my family. Richard?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of an interesting question you can imagine what people were saying during World War II.
Yeah.
There had been nothing worse than World War II. Nation against nation, a part of the prophetic word. Mm-hmm. And Matthew and that sort of thing. And folks were asking, is the end near? Is Jesus coming back? We saw somebody writing in 1988, 88 reasons the rapture is going to occur in 1988. And then when that didn't happen, he had 89 reasons the next year. So when we read the New Testament, when we read the letters of Paul, when we read Peter, when we read John, talk about the coming of Christ, there's an imminence in the language.
Yes.
They're expecting something to happen at any moment. And certainly, as folks looked and lived through, can you imagine Peter and Paul living through the reign of Nero and both being executed, one crucified upside down, the other beheaded, and everybody looking on at that? You would think, wow, has it ever been worse? Let's look up. Our redemption is nigh. Jesus is coming. He's soon to come. And every single generation after that, since that time, has been saying the same thing. And I think we should live with that imminence, the idea that Jesus could come back tomorrow. He could come back today. But that should be a hopeful thing, something that anchors us, that enables us to kind of withstand the fiery darts of our enemy, the temptations of this world, and just to stay focused on Jesus and to allow him to live his life through us. So we have to realize that, 100 years from now, people are probably going to say, this is the time.
Yeah.
Jesus is coming back.
I guarantee it, because it will be the time.
Right, right.
Now is when we've got.
Yes.
Right? You and I, everybody in the world lives one moment at a time. So all we've got is this moment and this moment and this moment. That's why I said earlier when we were talking about the message in Thessalonians, God is delayed. Jesus is delayed in coming back for one generation, my generation. So I look back at history and say, nothing could be worse than what we've got today. I mean, I look at really a one-world banking system and a one-world government and the tensions around the world, instant communication, and say, how could anything be worse than this? Well, if Jesus doesn't come back, I'm going to die. My children are going to say, at my age, when they get there, how could anything be worse than this? Jesus is coming back. And it goes that way every generation. And that's why we have this sense of imminence, because we look around and we say, this just isn't right. This needs Jesus to change it.
Right.
And he does change things one person at a time, but we're waiting for the big show where he's going to change the whole earth in one fell swoop. I think we should focus on the small show and keep dealing with one person at a time.
Absolutely. And that's how Peter kind of couches this
yes.
whole subject, doesn't he? He talks about the patience of the Lord. How long, Lord, are we gonna have to wait? And he says, remember, the patience of the Lord means salvation.
Yeah.
So God was patient with each of us individually. And his patience with us meant salvation for us. You know, he didn't have to be patient with us, but that's what love is all about. That's what his love
yes.
is all about. So he was patient with us. He understood our condition, and he had a plan for us in Jesus. And one day that plan became real in our lives, and we were saved. We were born again. We were added to the body of believers. Well, that number is going to continue to grow.
Yes.
God has plans for others to come to know Christ and to be included in this number. So anything of his delay in coming is related to his plan to save people, that full number of folks coming to be a part of the people of God. So his patience or his delay in arriving should be a good thing. It should be a hopeful thing. It should deepen our resolve as believers in Christ to say, hey, the reason Christ hasn't come back yet is there's more people to be saved. Let's continue to do our work. Let's continue to be a part of what God is doing right here and now. And that's what he says. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. So before that time comes, there are other people that are going to be reached
yes.
with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's exciting.
Sure,
that
is.
Is just so powerful and wonderful. And the fact that we can be a part of that, that we can be a part of God's great rescue mission that is going on right now, just boggles the mind. And I hope yeah. it boggles your mind, and that you're excited to be a part of what God is doing in this world today, to bring life to those who are dead in sin, to lift guilt from shoulders and exchange it for peace and rest and
yeah.
comfort in the Holy Spirit. That's what God's doing. That's what this life in him is all about.
Absolutely. What great news, guys. Thanks for sharing that. And friends, remember, time is running short. To make your gift to Basic Gospel and receive a copy of the 2-CD series that Bob has produced called Trail of Assurance, it'll bring hope and assurance to everyone struggling with the confusing issues surrounding end times prophecy. To receive your copy, just go online to basicgospel.net and click the donate link, or donate by phone at 844-322-2742. Trail of Assurance, our gift to you this month, as you make your gift to help Basic Gospel continue to be available to bring the good news to you every day. Remember, time is running short. This offer is only good through the end of the month. Again, donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. We encourage you also to take Basic Gospel with you wherever you go with the Basic Gospel app. It's available now in the App Store. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.